Hey, yo, what's up? It's your boy, sir, of the 2020 Podcast, LLC. Please say the LLC. And before you listen to this episode, I just got to let you know, I need you to stop what you're doing. Go to blkrenaissance.com, and I need you to shop for the culture. That's right. Anytime you use the promo code LLC20 at Black Renaissance Clothing's website, you will get 20% off your order. Off rip. No questions asked. So do me a favor and do it for the culture. Peace.
Hey, this is KJ, and I have a question for you. When was the last time you got something nice for yourself?
That's. Hi, guys. It's Mr. I'm Just Being Honest, host of the Truth Serum podcast for the people. You can find me on Spotify, Anchor, and Buzzsprout. More networks coming soon. Happy listening.
What's up, it's your boy Sir, and we are back reading the court documents of Rodney Jones versus Sean Combs, and we're just going to pick up where we left off. So last we read, we talked about the underage sex workers that Mr. Jones was hired to really go pick up. He had to wear a special hat at some kind of club or whatever, and he discussed cocaine, shootings, being groped. It's just a lot. It's just a lot. But we're going to pick back up with where we left off, right? All right. So this next section says, Mr. Combs and Jay Combs solicits drugs and engages in illicit sex acts with minors and sex workers. On about July 2nd, 2023 in California, Mr. Combs had a listening party at his home. Present at this party was an R&B artist, redacted, Jay Combs, sex workers, and some underage girls. Now, under the R&B artist, it states that this is a Grammy award-winning R&B singer who had trouble with law enforcement after assaulting a Bahian billionaire. This would turn out to be Rihanna, right? All right, so he's saying that at this party was Rihanna, Jay Combs, sex workers, and underage girls. The event began at 7 p.m. Mr. Combs requested female sex workers and required Mr. Jones to solicit them. An hour later, several sex workers appeared. In addition to sex workers, there were at least five women in the crowd that were under the age of 16. Mr. Combs forced all of the women to drink laced De Leon liquor. Upon information and belief, Mr. Combs laced the liquor with ecstasy. Mr. Combs did not check the identification of any of these underage females. The presence of these underage females made Mr. Jones very uncomfortable. He attempted to leave, and Mr. Combs forced him to stay. Mr. Combs went as far as to take Mr. Jones' keys to prevent him from leaving. After being forced to drink the laced De Leon shots, Mr. Jones became to feel lightheaded and recalls passing out and waking up around 4 a.m. the following morning, naked with a sex worker sleeping next to him. Screenshots of a video from that night is embedded below. He got some clips of Diddy kissing this young looking chick. Her face is blurred out. You see him in the crowd. Mr. Jones is next to one as well. Mr. Combs attempts to pass off Mr. Jones to Cuba Gooding Jr. Now, Mr. Jones believes that Mr. Combs was grooming him to pass him off to his friends. This fear became a reality when Mr. Combs introduced Mr. Jones to Cuba Gooding Jr. while they were on Mr. Combs' yacht.
During the introduction, Mr. Combs suggested that Cuba get to know Mr. Jones better. He then left them alone in a makeshift studio on the yacht. So you see the picture of Diddy and Cuba sitting there talking, and then it gives a little bit more. As evidenced by a video of the screenshots embedded below, Cuba Gooding Jr. began touching, groping, and fondling Mr. Jones' legs, his upper inner thighs near his groin, and the small of his back near his buttocks and his shoulders. Mr. Jones was very uncomfortable and proceeded to lean away from Cuba Gooding Jr. He rejected his advances, and Mr. Gooden did not stop until Mr. Jones forcibly pushed him away. The following is a screenshot of the encounter with Cuba Gooding Jr. There is a picture of Cuba looking at him longingly with his arm around him. His hand is on his thigh and his other arm is around his shoulder. It's looking like when an old head is trying to holler at a youngin. But yeah, that's, ugh. Yeah, I don't like it. The Love Album. Throughout his time with Mr. Combs, Mr. Jones was under an implied work-for-hire agreement. He was not compensated for his time living with Mr. Combs or for the songs he produced. As evidence, he was listed as a producer for the following songs on the Love Album's final release: Deliver Me, Stay Part 1, Reaching, What's Love, Stay a While, Moments, Need Somebody, Homegoing, and Tough Love. Mr. Combs and the defendant LR, MR, UMG all benefited from Mr. Jones's work product. They failed to compensate Mr. Jones for his work, and as a result, Mr. Combs and the defendants were all unjustly enriched at the expense of Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones attempted to work with Mr. Combs to secure his publishing and royalty rights for the work he completed on the album. Mr. Combs only offered Mr. Jones $29,000 for 13 months, thousands of hours of work, and 9 songs that made it to the Love Album. Ironically, Mr. Jones was willing to take $50,000, his publishing and royalties, right? Mr. Combs' self-serving greed would not allow him to pay Mr. Jones an additional $21,000. All right. Let's keep rolling. All right. Next, Mr. Combs' deceptive business practices became so bad that Mr. Jones was left with no other choice than to make a public plea on social media for Mr. Combs to pay him for his work. After publicly requesting that Mr. Combs do the right thing and pay him fairly, Mr. Jones received an onslaught of threatening messages from Stevie J and Love Records A&R DeForest Taylor. And now we have a screenshot of text messages from DeForest. It says, "You playing?" What's his name? Rodney says, "I'm in the studio." It looks like there's a voice message. And it looks like DeForest says again, you are 100% a liar and a weirdo. Good luck. Quote unquote, number still the same. Run into nigga. Come talk to me in public on a public podcast and forum." It's really interesting. So Mr. Combs used his power and influence to threaten and intimidate Mr. Jones. According to Mr. Jones, Mr. Combs is very forceful and demanding. Mr. Combs does not take no for an answer and would often threaten to inflict bodily harm on Mr. Jones if Mr. Jones does not comply with his demands. As detailed above, Mr. Combs threatened to eat Mr. Jones's face. What the fuck? All right, on another occasion, while standing in Mr. Combs' bedroom, Mr. Jones was forced to watch as Mr. Combs displayed his guns and bragged about getting away with shooting people. Mr. Combs shared that he was responsible for shooting in the nightclub in New York City with rapper Shine. All right, now it was always a rumor that he snitched on Shine, which got Shine deported. But anyway, he shared that artist and Mr. Combs' girlfriend at the time, Jennifer Lopez, aka J-Lo, carried the gun into the club for him and passed him the gun after he got into an altercation with another individual. Man, and now it's just giving screenshots of those situations from back when, making 1 + 1 = 2. The shootings in the Chalice Studios confirmed Mr. Combs' statements. These statements reinforced Mr. Jones' fear of Mr. Combs and strengthened Mr. Combs' dominion and control over Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones was terrified of Mr. Combs. He felt that he could not tell him no. Mr. Combs consistently made it clear that he has immense power in the music industry and law enforcement. Mr. Combs made it clear that his head of security, Fahim Muhammad, from now on referred to as Mr. Muhammad, had the power to make people and problems disappear. Threatened. All right, and this is Mr. Muhammad. It's a picture. I'll make sure to put him on the cover. Mr. Combs instructs his staff to always contact Mr. Muhammad if they're ever pulled over by police in Miami or California. Upon information and belief, Mr. Muhammad spoke with the LAPD after G was shot at CRS. The LAPD was in CRS and witnessed the blood in the restroom, and they went with the bogus claim of that shooting. The shooting of G occurred outside the studio. This was all in thanks to Mr. Muhammad's connections with the law enforcement. We already knew the LAPD and cops were crooked, though. Mr. Jones had no reason to disbelieve Mr. Combs, as he had seen firsthand through the shooting of G and the subsequent silence of the LAPD and the media that Mr. Combs indeed had the power to harm him. The LAPD spent hours in CRS after the shooting of G, yet there was no arrest. Mr. Jones witnessed the LAPD in the restroom pictured above, yet no arrests were made. The morning after the shooting, Mr. Jones and several others arrived at CRS, and G's blood was still on the floor in the bathroom, and Mr. Combs hired a cleaning crew to clean it up. Sheesh. Defendants Ethiopia H, Lucian G, and Motown Records profited off of Sean Combs' RICO enterprise. This is where it gets interesting. Mr. Jones recalls seeing Defendant Grange visiting Mr. Combs' home in Miami, Florida, and LA, California. According to Mr. Jones, whenever Defendant Grange visited Mr. Combs at his homes, it would be in the evening, and he and Mr. Combs would disappear for hours in Mr. Combs' bedroom. Yikes. Defendant Grange sponsored and attended several Love Albums listening parties at Mr. Combs' home in LA. These parties were sponsored by Defendants MR, LR, and UMG. These are just naming the people by initials. As evidence above, these parties had sex workers and underage girls present. During these parties, Defendant Grange knew and should have known that Mr. Combs was drugging the attendees through laced bottles of tequila and Ciroc vodka. It is no secret that Mr. Combs has specific bottles of alcohol designated for females and others designated for his staff and artists and himself. This fact was detailed by former artists and bodyguards of Mr. Combs. As a sponsor of these events, Defendant Grange had duty and obligation to ensure that sex workers and underage girls were not present and that Mr. Combs was not spiking alcohol with date rape drugs. On YouTube channel The Art of Dialogue, former bodyguard Gene Deal exposed Mr. Combs' pill mixing method used to spike cranberry juice and orange juice. According to Mr. Deal, Mr. Combs would place ecstasy and other date rape drugs in the juices. On YouTube, The Art of Dialogue, former artist Mark Curry exposed Mr. Combs spiking bottles of Moet in the VIP sections of the nightclub. Mr. Combs would have a set of Moet champagne bottles for artists and a set for the women. That's crazy. So having two sets of alcohol, one for the druggies and one for the regular people. That's sadistic. This writer has spoken with several former employees of Mr. Combs who have witnessed Defendant KK instruct her staff to lace champagne, De Leon, and Ciroc liquor bottles with ecstasy and other illicit drugs. Mr. Jones recalls seeing Defendant H visiting Mr. Combs' home in Miami, Florida, and LA. According to Mr. Jones, whenever Defendant H visited Mr. Combs at his home, it would be in the evening, and she and Mr. Combs would disappear for hours in Mr. Combs' bedroom. According to Mr. Jones, Defendant H visited Mr. Combs at Defendant CRS during the Combs writing camp. Defendant H sponsored and attended several live Love Album listening parties in LA, and these were sponsored by everybody else. Basically, this is just stating that she was there. And he's also saying that KK, Christina Corum, is the Ghislaine Maxwell to Sean Puffy Combs, Jeffrey Epstein. So basically the facilitator of his bullshit. All right, according to Mr. Jones, during the 13 months he lived with and traveled with Mr. Combs, he witnessed Ms. Combs display and distribute guns from his bedroom to his closet in Miami, Florida, and LA to questionable individuals dressed in all black. According to Mr. Jones, during the 13 months he lived and traveled with Mr. Combs, he witnessed KK openly order assistance to keep Mr. Combs high off gummies and pills.
Defendant KK required all employees from the butler, the chef, to the housekeepers to walk around with a pouch or fanny pack filled with cocaine, GHB, ecstasy, marijuana gummies, 100 to 250 milligrams each, and a Tucci, a pink drug that is a combination of ecstasy and cocaine, basically pink cocaine. This was important to Defendant KK to have Mr. Cone's drug of choice immediately ready when he asked for it. Defendant KK ordered sex workers and prostitutes for Mr. Combs. Defendant KK ordered and distributed ecstasy, cocaine, GHB, ketamine, marijuana, and mushrooms to Mr. Combs and his celebrity guests who were present on his rented yacht, and even in his homes in LA, New York City, and Miami. On multiple occasions, Defendant KK forced Mr. Jones to carry Mr. Combs' drug pouch against his will. As the chief of staff, KK was instrumental in organizing and executing the RICO enterprise. Defendant KK had the following individuals execute the following tasks for the RICO enterprise. Stevie J recruits sex workers and attends parties and participates in the freak-offs. Justin Combs solicits prostitutes, underage girls, and sex workers would also engage in freak-offs. And Brendan Paul, who works as Mr. Combs' mule, he acquires, distributes, and Mr. Combs' drugs and guns. And it's also noted that they do indeed have recordings of these situations and videos as proof of this. Next, they pointed out Frankie Santella, who worked alongside Brendan. While Brendan acquires and distributes Mr. Combs' drugs and guns, Frankie carries the money and pays for the guns and drugs. And Frankie is a inconspicuous looking white guy. Moy Bon hires the sex workers and attends and participate in Freak Off. He also is an inconspicuous looking white guy. All right, so we got more information here. So Mr. Combs funded and used his affiliation with local gangs and gang leaders who would frequent his homes in LA and Miami to secure drugs and guns he obtained and distributed out of his home in LA and Miami. Defendants executed their RICO enterprises and the threats with threats of violence and threats to eat plaintiffs' faces, displaying and distributing guns in plaintiffs' presence, bragging about having law enforcement under control, bragging about murdering people, bragging about bribing witnesses and jurors in the criminal case concerning the 1999 New York club night shooting with Shine. Defendants executed their RICO enterprises with threats of isolation from music and entertainment industry, parading powerful music industry execs such as defendants Lucian, Ethiopia, and other parties filled with sex workers, minors, and illegal drugs such as ecstasy, cocaine, GHB, ketamine, marijuana, and mushrooms. Defendants executed their RICO enterprises with threats of non-payment for work completed, fake promises of cash payments, $250,000, producer of the year Grammy Awards, and guaranteed access to future projects, and a $20 million home on Star Island in Miami. Man. So, Mr. Combs is allowed to wreak havoc. While living and traveling with Mr. Combs, Mr. Jones discovered that Mr. Combs has hidden cameras in every room of this homes. Mr. Jones believes that Mr. Combs has recordings of the defendants, as well as celebrities, music label execs, and politicians and athletes. Upon the information and belief, these individuals were recorded without their knowledge and consent, and as this case, the homosexual tape of Stevie J that Mr. Combs provided to Mr. Jones. Mr. Combs possesses compromising footage of every person that has attended his freak-offs and his house parties. Huh, so that would explain why his house got raided. They went and got them tapes. Upon information and belief, due to the treasure trove of evidence he has in his possession, Mr. Combs believes that he is above the law and untouchable. Upon information and belief, Mr. Combs employs Jose Cruz as his IT director. The writer has spoken to former employees of Mr. Combs, who confirmed that Jose Cruz is the gatekeeper to all of Mr. Combs' recordings. Upon information and belief, Jose Cruz intentionally hides behind the camera and from social media and the internet due to all the incriminating acts he would have required for required to record for Mr. Combs. Which is smart. So, nobody really knows what he looks like.
All right. First cause of action, conduct and participate in RICO enterprise. He's basically trying to get this man under RICO, y'all. I'm not going to read all of this in particular because it's just discussing the law. But we'll talk about Mr. Jones incorporates by reference all preceding paragraphs and realleges them as if set fully herein. As a respondent superior, defendants Lucian, Ethiopia, Combs, Motown Records, Love Records, and Universal Music Group are 100% liable for the action of Sean Combs, Justin Combs, KK, as if they were acting in their capacities as their respondent superior collective's employees when they committed the acts below. The respondent superior collective failed to adequately monitor or supervise the action of Sean Combs, Justin Combs, and KK. Defendants are individuals or entities within the meaning of a person. All right, because each person is capable of holding and does hold a legal or beneficial interest in property. So yeah, he's basically saying these people under, you know, the law are actual people, and due to this RICO, they, you know, have to be held accountable as if they were representing Universal, you know. So the rest of this is basically trying to frame this within a RICO stance. But let me know what you think, man. Do you think this is a RICO case? This is, if this stuff is true, this is 1,000% one. It definitely, anytime there's an organization where the gang has roles and they're filling it, yo, this is a thing. Now, granted, Homeland Security raided his home. The feds will not act on you until they have a shut case on you. So the fact that he got out of, you know, the United States means that he probably not coming back. I'm just going to be honest with you. But I do look forward to more of the details coming out because he's just as bad as we heard, if not worse, man. This dude was ill, man. This dude's crazy. But anyway, this has been your boy, sir. We're going to read the last few pages of this. We'll talk more about the second cause of action section of the complaint that was filed. But anyway, make sure you share this with somebody who's interested, and we'll get up with you next time. Peace.
Can we put your business out in the streets? People be nosy anyway. So, if you're interested in promoting your business, brand, platform, or whatever it is that you want people to know about, hit us up. Or if you're interested in just sponsoring an episode or two of the Underground Queens podcast, feel free to email us at theundergroundqueenswithaz@gmail.com. Again, that's theundergroundqueenspodcast@gmail.com. Or DM us on Instagram at @theundergroundqueens. Or you can even hit us up on Facebook at Underground Queens. We look forward to working with you and helping putting your business out in the streets.